A prominent Israeli aviation family has paid the price again. NASA's XPRIZE purse will have to write a big check. And a space probe will be sacrificed for science on October 9th. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, September 15th, 2009. Israeli Air Force Lieutenant Asaf Ramon died Sunday when his F-16 went down in the southern Hebron Hills during what was officially described as a routine training mission. Ramon was the son of Colonel Ilan Ramon, Israel's first astronaut, who died February 1, 2003 on board the space shuttle Columbia when it broke up over Texas during re-entry. Israeli Defense Forces tell CNN the cause of Sunday's crash is under investigation and that all F-16 training is suspended until further notice. Israeli military officials say Lieutenant Ramon had excelled in training last month, received a presidential honor, and was given his pilot's wings by President Shimon Peres, who said of the accident, quote, "I knew both of them. They are a symbol of everything that is good in the Jewish state, and they were the most exceptional of the exceptional," unquote. Ramon has been posthumously promoted to the rank of captain. This year, the XPRIZE's Grumman Lunar Lander Challenge was not scheduled at a specific place and time, but rather at venues convenient to the participating teams and during a calendar window which runs through October 31st. If NASA had any lingering hopes of hanging on to its million-dollar purse this year, they were dashed on Saturday when Armadillo Aerospace successfully met the requirements of the competition's Level 2 Challenge. That meant ascending to a height of 50 meters, translating horizontally to a landing pad 50 meters away, landing safely on a rocky lunar replica surface after at least 180 seconds of flight time, then repeating the flight. Armadillo's Scorpius vehicle pulled it off on Saturday at the Caddo Mills Airport in Texas, where Armadillo Aerospace's facilities are based, making the return flight to the original launch pad within 2 hours of the first leg. There are two other teams that say they intend to accomplish the same feat, but regardless, NASA will be writing a $1 million check to somebody or a combination of somebody's before the end of the year. John Carmack, who is head of Armadillo Aerospace, says this is just the beginning. Quote, "Since the Lunar Lander Challenge is quite demanding in terms of performance, with a few tweaks, our Scorpius vehicle actually has the capability to travel all the way to space. We'll be moving quickly to do higher altitude tests, and we can go up to about 6,000 feet here in Texas before we'll have to head to New Mexico, where we can really push the envelope. We already have scientific payloads from universities lined up to fly as well, so this will be an exciting next few months for commercial spaceflight," unquote. NASA says it has chosen the site on the moon where LCROSS, its Lunar Crater Observation and Sensing Satellite, will be sacrificed in the furtherance of science. A mature South Pole crater called Cabeus A was chosen after what NASA describes as a vigorous debate within the lunar science community. First to hit the surface will be LCROSS's spent upper stage, and the probe itself will follow close behind the rocket to observe the dust plume created by the rocket's impact before it hits the surface itself. The plume will also be visible from Earth, which was a consideration in the selection of Cabeus A as a target. Among the observatories participating will be the Infrared Telescope Facility and Keck Telescope in Hawaii, the Magdalena Ridge and Apache Ridge Observatories in New Mexico, the MMT Observatory in Arizona, the Hubble Space Telescope, and the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter. Mission managers have selected October 9th for impact. Up next on ANN, the A350's flight computer will get new and improved digital memory. The Polish Health Ministry gets the first of its new Eurocopters. And the NTSB will hold a hearing on Empire Airlines Flight 8284. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 15th. I'm Paul Plack. Everspin Technologies says it's been chosen by Airbus to supply high-performance digital memory products for flight-critical applications on the A350 XWB. Everspin says that MRAM memory combines principles of magnetic and silicon storage circuitry to deliver highly reliable, non-volatile memory with SRAM-like speed. This enables true instant-on capability and power loss protection in many classes of electronic devices over a wide temperature range. MRAM products will replace earlier SRAM and flash components in the flight control computer with a single, non-volatile read-write memory that provides faster speeds, unlimited write cycles, and easier software updates. In June of last year, the Polish Health Ministry ordered 23 new Eurocopter EC-135s. Last week, the first of those ships was delivered. The new fleet represents a major step in Poland's efforts to modernize the country's nationwide helicopter emergency medical services. The new machine is scheduled to enter service in January and will be based in Warsaw. Five more EC-135s are slated for delivery before the end of this year, with the rest to follow in 2010. The fleet will be distributed among 17 Polish bases and will be flown by the Warsaw-based Polish operator LPR. The National Transportation Safety Board says it will hold a public hearing Tuesday and Wednesday of next week to gather additional factual information in its investigation into the January on-airport crash of Empire Airlines Flight 8284. The ATR 42320 was operating as a domestic cargo flight for Federal Express when it came down 300 feet short of the runway the night of January 27th at Lubbock Preston Smith International Airport in freezing drizzle. The captain was seriously injured. The first officer sustained minor injuries, and the aircraft was substantially damaged by the hard landing in a post-crash fire. The hearing will start at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time at the NTSB's Boardroom and Conference Center in Washington, D.C., and hear testimony on crew action, the airline's policies and programs, applicable FAA regulations, and the role of avionics. A public accident document with factual information will be opened just before the hearing starts and available on the internet at www.ntsb.gov. Still ahead, a C5M Galaxy sets 41 new records on one flight. Pratt & Whitney investigates a damaged F-135 engine. And thousands enjoy $100 pancakes for a good cause. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, September 15th. I'm Paul Platt. The C-5 Galaxy cargo plane has been the backbone of America's strategic airlift fleet since the late 1960s. But in the 1990s, reliability rates were dropping to unacceptable levels. When testing revealed the airframes themselves still had 80% of their useful life remaining, Lockheed Martin proposed updating the fleet with new engines and avionics. The resulting C-5M is said to be a vastly improved aircraft, and an Air Force crew based at Dover, Delaware, recently showed just how improved it is. Starting with a pre-dawn takeoff Sunday morning, a Galaxy loaded with a payload of about 178,000 pounds climbed to 12,000 meters, or 39,370 feet, in less than 28 minutes. That broke previous altitude, payload, and time-to-climb records in a variety of categories. A total of 41 new records, including many for lighter weights and lower altitudes, are being reviewed by the National Aeronautic Association, which keeps records for the U.S. One of those records, for maximum altitude and level flight, had belonged to Russia's Tupolev Tu-160 since 1989. Lieutenant Colonel Mike Simo, 709th Airlift Squadron pilot and C-5M Program Office Chief, observed of the C-5's new configuration, quote, "This really is a modern aircraft for a modern Air Force," unquote. Current Air Force plans call for Lockheed to deliver 52 C-5Ms by 2016. Pratt & Whitney tells Bloomberg its investigation into an F-135 engine damaged during testing for FAA certification on Friday will require at least 5 days. Bloomberg reports parts were ejected from the tailpipe during a static test. During a teleconference, Pratt & Whitney's Aaron Dick offered, quote, "We do not anticipate any impact to the flight test program. We're trying to determine what corrective action we need to take going forward. We will do whatever it takes to identify the problem," unquote. Mercury Aviation at Fort Wayne International Airport in Indiana hosted the annual Shriners Fly-In Pancake Breakfast on Sunday, with proceeds going to benefit Shriners Children's Hospitals. The Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette reports the event has been one of Fort Wayne Mitzvah Shrine's main fundraisers for 20 years. A minimum donation of $5 was good for eggs, sausage, ham, pancakes, hash browns, toast, and a drink. About 25 airplanes came in with 75 occupants out of a total of 2,000 people who reportedly attended the event. The Shriners have 22 hospitals nationwide that treat children who suffer from crippling conditions or burns free of charge. The total annual budget for all those hospitals is reportedly about $825 million. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, the FAA's Brian Neville tells us how he'll get the wings program back on track. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.